dear brothers and sisters in Christ. Today's gospel reading of the man who had been ill for 38 years, along with the first reading from the prophet Ezekiel, offer us a reflection, material for a reflection on baptism and the power of the sacraments and the need to be conformed to Christ's will. In both of these readings, we have the symbol of water. The first reading from Ezekiel is mysterious about the temple and the water that flows from the threshold and can be understood as a prophetic foreshadowing of Christ and his pierced side from which flow forth the sacraments of the church and the blood and the water. And all that happens as a result of this flowing water, the great abundance of life that comes with it, and this water that grows in immensity to where it can't even be measured. Which is symbolic of the effect of Christ's grace in the world through the church, which continues to grow and bring life. It's a perennial source of life through the generations. And in the gospel reading, water is part of this story in that it takes place at the pool of Bethesda, which it's not explained as explicitly in John's gospel, but in the others, there's a belief because periodically the water in the pool becomes agitated. And so the Jews believed that an angel at that point stirred up the water, and the first person to reach the water would receive healing. And so this poor man's been there for 38 years hoping for his opportunity, waiting for the water to stir up and then get there. But he never is able to get there before someone else. And Jesus has pity on him. Who wouldn't? Listen to what he says. "Sir, I have no one to put me in the pool when the water is stirred up. While I'm on my way, someone else gets down there before me." And this has been his plight for 38 years. And so Jesus doesn't say, "Okay, listen, I'm going to take you down to the water myself and put you in." He says simply, "Rise, take up your mat, and walk." And immediately the man is healed. And he does this on the Sabbath, a day that's set aside for honoring God. And part of that observance is to refrain from menial labor. And so the overzealous interpreters of the law see this man carrying a mat and say, "You can't do that." Maybe they don't know that just that morning he was unable to walk. In any case, they ask him, "Who told you to carry your mat?" Now this man has just received a miracle from someone he didn't know. He didn't know who Jesus was. But it's rather disconcerting to see that as soon as he finds out, he goes and tells the people who want to punish him for doing this good work. In any case, Jesus, by his sacrifice on the cross, has given us life. The sacraments, as I said, that water that flows from the temple is symbolic of the water that flowed from the side of Christ, who is God and who in his human nature is the temple of the Most High. And yet his power is not dependent on the sacraments, and the sacraments are not magic. We use water as the matter of baptism, and it's necessary That's the necessary part of the sacrament of baptism, is that it involves water, fresh water, and immersion or flowing water over the body of the person to be baptized. And then, of course, the form, which is, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. But Christ's effectiveness doesn't depend on anything other than his will. And for the sacraments to have their full effect in us and to be lasting, can't simply be an action that we receive passively. We have to conform ourselves to the will of God. Now, this man has been healed. He didn't do anything to receive it. It was a grace. And all of the sacraments are graces, and they confer grace upon us. But then the man failed, in my opinion, to be truly grateful. He did not have to go back to the Jews and tell them, oh, hey, I found out it was this man, Jesus. He may or may not know that the Jews are going to punish Jesus, but he could have, with a little bit of thought, realized that maybe it would be better to just not say anything and just be grateful for what he received. In any case, my point is that with the sacraments, we are given grace and life, but we have to also then live in the Spirit and be conformed to the will of God, because that's the real power and grace and life, is to be united with God spiritually. And that involves necessarily our will and our submitting to the will of God and surrendering our own will. This beautiful symbolism of the sacrament of baptism and the water and its power and grace remind us also, you know, in this season of Lent, of our brothers and sisters, or brothers and sisters to be, who aren't yet baptized but want to come into the church. We remember them and we pray that they will have the grace to persevere and on Easter receive the grace of baptism that we all enjoy, which is the foundation then of that divine life in us that we must conform to then. Once we've received it, we have to keep it. And God gave us other sacraments as well, because through our poor use of will, through our infidelity, we can lose that grace as well. And God in his infinite mercy gave us then the sacrament of penance, in which we can be restored in grace when we repent of our sins and ask his forgiveness. Brothers and sisters, let us strive to appreciate more and more fully the mysterious and unfathomable grace of God's love for us, his forgiveness, and his desire to be united with us, which only happens when we desire to be united with him. And let us pray then that the sacraments may be effective in us through our seeking of God faithfully, and like the water that goes out and fills the countryside, as in the vision of Ezekiel, may our faith and living of the sacramental life spread. May we share it with others, and may this life be multiplied through us by the grace of God. And may the Blessed Virgin Mary, our Mother, help us to be faithful to her Son and to our Christian vocation and mission. Praise be Jesus and Mary.